NBC presents The Adventures of Frank Merriwell. There it is, an echo of the past, an exciting past, a romantic past, the era of the horse and carriage, gaslit streets, and free-for-all football games, the era of one of the most beloved figures in American fiction, Frank Merriwell. Merriwell is loved as much today as ever he was. And so the National Broadcasting Company brings him to radio in a new series of stories based on the famous books written by Gilbert Patton under the pen name Bert L. Standish. Today, The Surprise Play. This is the big week of Yale's football season, the week of the Harvard game. The coach has been driving his team hard, and now on Thanksgiving morning, Frank and Bart stop briefly at the handsome old house on Whitney Avenue where their friend Inza Burridge lives.
Well, Frank and Bart, this is a surprise. Come on in.
Hi, Inza. We only have a minute or two.
We've got to get right back to campus.
We'll stay for a few minutes at least. Here, let me take your coat.
Ah, thanks.
All right.
I've been wondering what happened to you all week.
Oh, well, we've been working our heads off. The coach has had us practicing every minute we could spare from classes.
Well, but at least you had today off, haven't you? Thanksgiving.
Well, that only means more practice time to the coach.
You mean you can't even come for a turkey dinner?
I'm afraid not, Inza. That's what we stopped by to tell you.
Oh, that isn't fair. I should think he could give you one day off.
Well, I can't blame him. You should see his scouting reports on the Harvard team. He's really worried about the game.
After all, it is the most important game of the year to all of us.
Oh, I know. It's just that I'm disappointed.
Well, don't feel too badly, Inza. As a matter of fact, as far as the turkey dinner goes, we're having our big dinner Saturday night, right after the game.
Oh?
It's a football dinner, and what's more, you're invited.
Oh?
Want to come?
Oh, of course, I'd love to. Going to be sort of a victory celebration?
That all depends on what we do Saturday afternoon. It is the general idea, anyhow.
You said you could only stay a few minutes now. Don't tell me the coach is called to practice this early.
Well, not quite. We have to go over and see the registrar.
You see, Frank wasn't satisfied concentrating on the Harvard game. He had to go and get himself an assignment for an article on the Yale Lit.
But it's an important story, Bart. I had to take the assignment. Inza, it's about the new civil engineering school Yale is going to build.
Oh, yes, I've heard about that. Have they announced where it's going to be built yet?
Well, not yet. That's why we're going to see the registrar. If we can get the article written in time, we can put it in next week's Yale Lit.
I don't know how Frank gets mixed up in all these things, but he does.
Well, I'm sorry about the Thanksgiving dinner, Inza.
Oh, that's all right. We'll celebrate it Saturday night. By that time, you'll have beaten Harvard, and we'll have an added reason to be thankful.
No doubt about it. Sit down, gentlemen, sit down.
Thanks.
What can I do for you? Well, it's about the new civil engineering school, Professor Stafford. What is the location of the new building, sir?
Well, now, I plan to make that announcement at the dinner Saturday night.
Well, we realize that, sir, but couldn't we get the information today for the Yale Lit?
Well, gentlemen, that presents a rather delicate problem.
Well, how's that, sir?
I should explain that we haven't completed negotiations for the building site yet, and it's imperative that the location be kept secret until the final papers are signed.
Why is that, sir?
It's a simple business matter. We're purchasing this land through Mr. Yates, a local realtor. The actual landowner is a Mr. Mallory.
Oh, then you must be buying the Mallory property just across High Street.
Well, frankly, yes. That is to be the site of the new building.
Oh, that's great. Professor Stafford, may we write that up in the article?
Only on one condition, gentlemen. Under no circumstances must any hint of what you have just learned leak out until after the transaction is completed.
Well, why, sir?
Because Mr. Mallory has no idea at the moment that Mr. Yates is representing the university.
Oh.
If he had even an inkling of that fact, he would double his asking price.
Double it? Could the university afford that?
No, Mr. Merriwell. We could not. It would mean the end of the project.
But why are you so sure this Maori would put up the price?
Well, it's a practical certainty. He's a shrewd businessman, and he labors under the mistaken impression that Yale University has inexhaustible funds at its disposal. He would never sell his land to us at a reasonable figure.
Well, yes, sir, I understand that.
Well, this puts us on a spot, Frank. If we do the article, it'd have to be typeset by tonight at the latest.
Oh, I'm afraid that would be impossible, Mr. Hodge. There would be too great a chance of the secret getting out.
That's what I was afraid of.
But just a moment, Professor Stafford. Maybe we can work this out. Suppose Bart and I set the type for the article ourselves.
Yeah, that's an idea, Frank.
In that way, we could have the article ready to go, but at the same time, no one else would have to share the secret.
Well, now, I'm quite as anxious as you to see the article in the next edition of the Lit. If you could guarantee that the secret would be safe until set...
Oh, we can, sir. We won't tell a soul. And no one else will see the proofs until the announcement is made.
Very well.
Good.
Then it's settled.
Thank you, sir. Well, come on, Bart. We've just about got time to make our football practice.
No, no, that's not it. Still not getting that timing right. First team, back here.
Okay, coach.
Now, look, man. I'm not worried about our attack right now. If you keep driving and blocking like you've been going all week, we can move that ball against Harvard. But that won't help if you can't stop them. Especially if you can't stop those wide-end sweeps.
Well, it's a tricky play to stop, Coach.
Yeah.
The scrubs keep turning our left end.
And what do you think Harvard will do? Especially with that halfback Donnelly carrying the ball. Now, remember, you've got to turn the runner to the inside. Now, I'm going to have the scrubs run that once again. Let's see you stop it.
Come on, team. Let's show it.
All right, scrubs. Run it again.
Signals. 34. 3, height. 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Harry. Turn him in. That's it. Make the tackle, Bart.
That's it. That's it. A lot better. You handle those plays that way on Saturday, and you won't have a thing to worry about. But don't forget, one slip and those fast Harvard backs will be off to the races. All right, that's all. Get to the showers.
Nice tackling, Bart.
Oh, thanks. That was some workout, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty tough, but I don't blame the coach. We'll have to go some to take Harvard.
Oh, we better take them. Otherwise, our whole season will be ruined.
I know. Incidentally, Inza volunteered to come over and help us at the lid office tonight.
Well, you didn't take her up on it, did you?
Well, of course. We can use all the help we can get.
Well, I know, but what about the secret? Professor Stafford made us swear not to tell anyone else about it.
Well, we don't have to let her know about that. I'm going to let her type up the ad copy for us. That'll free us to spend all our time getting up the proofs on the article.
Oh, that's all right, then. Say, if we're going to get over there in time, we better get dressed in a hurry. Hey, here come the first copies, Frank. How they look?
Oh, let's see. Turn off the press, Paul.
All right.
Oh, these are pretty badly smudged. Here, I'll clean off the type with this rag.
Well, what'll I do with these copies? Throw them away?
No, I'll stick them in the wastebasket there in the outer office. We'll burn them in the stove before we leave.
All right.
Oh, hello, Bart. You want anything?
No, I'm just looking for the wastebasket.
Over here on the other side of the desk.
Oh, I see. Well, we spoiled this first batch.
Oh, it's too bad. I'm almost through with this. We can leave earlier than we expected.
It wasn't much of a job. Well, I better go back and help Frank.
Wonder who that is. Yes?
I saw the lights on up here while I was passing the office. I wonder if you people could help me out.
What is it you wanted?
Well, my name is Mallory. I had an ad in the Yale Lit last week, and I'd like to get the cut for it. I want it run in another paper.
What sort of an ad was it, Mr. Mallory?
A real estate ad. You must have it here somewhere.
Let me see. Yes, it seems to me to remember it. Won't you come in a minute?
Oh, thank you. Come in, son.
Oh, is this your little boy?
I'm not a little boy, ma'am. I'm almost 8 years old.
Oh, my goodness, you are getting along, aren't you?
Yes, ma'am. My name's Jimmy Mallory. What's yours?
Inza Burridge. I'm very glad to meet you, Jimmy.
Same here.
About that ad.
Oh, yes. Now, let me think. I'm only helping out here tonight. I don't know exactly where they keep the old cuts, but... Yes, I remember where I saw that. I think it was just over here.
Find it, ma'am?
I think so. Is this the cut you meant?
Looks like it. Yes, ma'am, that's mine.
There still seems to be some ink on it. We'd better wrap it in something.
Here's some paper in the wastebasket.
Oh, that's fine, Jimmy. I'll use a piece of that.
Here's a sheet.
Thank you.
Well, that'll do, Miss Burridge. I'll carry it right in my overcoat pocket.
Here you are, Mr. Mallory.
Much obliged. Good night.
Good night, sir. Good night, Jimmy.
Good night, Miss Burridge.
Oh, cute little fellow. Let's see now. Where was I? Oh, yes, just finishing this. There. That's done.
Well, that's that. How are you doing, Inza?
I just finished, Frank.
Oh, so did we. Guess we're ready to shut up shop.
What in the world have you two been working on that's so mysterious?
Oh, we can't tell you, Inza. Not now, at least.
Well, I'd better lock these copies in the safe until morning.
All right, I'll burn the papers in this basket. Then we can clean up.
Yates Real Estate Office, good morning. Yes, this is Yates speaking. Oh, hello, Professor Stafford. No, sir, no further news on the deal. Everything is just as smooth as silk. Yes, sir, you haven't a thing to worry about. The Mallory property is as good as Yale's right now. Eh? You bet, Professor Stafford. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
So, there you are, Yates.
Oh, hello, Mr. Mallory. I was just talking about your property.
Oh, you were, eh? Well, let me tell you something, Yates.
Mr. Mallory, what's the trouble with
you? I'll tell you what the trouble is. I'm doubling my price.
What's that?
Thought you could trick me, didn't you? Thought you could get me to sell my land real cheap.
My client offered you a fair price. You've nothing to complain about.
I haven't, eh? Look here. Why didn't you tell me this mysterious client of yours was Yale University?
What are you talking about?
Don't stall with me. The game's up, Yates. I know it's Yale who's buying my land, and I have no intention of letting it go for a song.
I see. How did you learn that?
Never mind. And don't bother denying it. I know what I'm talking about. Now, that's my offer. Take it or leave it. I want double the original price.
But, Mr. Mallory, Yale University couldn't possibly afford to pay a sum like that for the land. Why, you lose the sale entirely if you persist in this.
You think I was born yesterday, Yates? The university is rich and you know it.
But this land was to be bought under a special endowment fund. Now, the fund simply isn't large enough to meet your offer.
I don't believe it. They'll buy all right and under my terms.
Oh, is this final, Mr. Mallory?
Absolutely final. If they don't meet my offer, they don't get the land.
This is disastrous, Mr. Yates.
Disastrous. I warned you that the utmost secrecy was imperative in this thing.
I know that, Professor Stafford. You don't think I told him, do you?
No, of course not. But you and I were the only people in the world who knew the full details.
Yes.
Outside of the Board of Trustees, of course. Unless... Why, of course. Merriwell and Hodge.
What's that? You mean they knew about the deal?
Yes. They had the information in order to prepare a special article for the Yale Lit.
Well, there's your answer, then.
I can't believe it. They're both extremely trustworthy young men. I was positive they wouldn't breathe a word of this to anyone.
Well, Professor, it's easy to get fooled on things like that. Now, what about the purchase?
Well, it will have to be cancelled, of course. Oh. Frankly, I don't know how I...
Shall I get it?
Yes, if you please.
Certainly. Merriwell.
We'd like to see Professor Stafford if he's not busy.
Merriwell and Hodge. Come in.
Yes, sir.
So, these are the two who spilled the beans.
What? What do you mean by that?
We just came over to show you these proofs for the story, Professor Stafford.
You can forget the story now, gentlemen. Thanks to you, Yale will have to wait a few more years for its new civil engineering school.
A few more? What happened, Professor Stafford?
Gentlemen, I'm very disappointed in you both. I had warned you that no hint of the details of this transaction must leak out before Saturday.
Well, we know that, sir.
Well, that's why we set these proofs up ourselves.
Such word has leaked out, gentlemen, and Mr. Mallory has doubled his price as I feared he would. Naturally, we're forced to cancel the whole business.
Yes, and all because of you two kids.
Because of us, but we didn't tell anyone of it.
Well, not a soul. That's the truth, sir.
And I wish I could believe you. Unfortunately, you are the only ones who could have let the information slip.
But I swear we didn't tell anyone at all, sir.
Here, let me have a look at those proofs you've got there.
Let him see them, Bart. Oh.
Here you are.
Yeah, I thought so. Here's your answer, Professor Stafford. The whole story's right here in black and white for anyone to see. No wonder Mallory found out.
But no one has seen those proofs but ourselves. These are the only copies in existence. I swear it, sir.
You mean that no one other than yourselves has laid sight on these proofs?
No one, sir. You've got to believe it.
That's a likely story.
Nevertheless, I believe them, Yates.
But you...
Mr. Merriwell and Mr. Hodge have a reputation for high integrity. If they say no one has seen the proofs, then no one has.
Thank you, sir.
How do you explain the leak, then? The information came from somewhere.
I cannot explain it, Mr. Yates. However, the question is merely academic now. The fact remains we've lost our chance. If anyone's to take the blame in the eyes of the Board of Trustees, I must do it.
Oh, gosh, Mr. Professor Stafford, I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything, gentlemen. You are excused.
And that's the whole story, and as long as the secret is out, you might as well know.
Well, that's awful. How could it have happened?
Oh, it beats us. We've been trying to work it out on our way over here to see you.
Do you think that Mr. Yates might have been responsible? He might have tried to make a private deal with Mallory.
Well, it's a possibility, all right, but I don't know of any way we could prove it.
Well, I'd like to try choking it out of him.
Anyhow, I know one thing. You and Bart didn't let the news out. Well, you didn't even tell me about it, and I was helping you last night.
Sure, it must have been Yates.
I wonder. Well, there's one other possibility.
What's that?
Remember those first copies we ran off?
The smudge coins? What about them?
Are you sure you burned all of them?
Well, of course I did. I emptied the wastebasket the last thing I did. There wasn't even a scrap of paper in it.
The wastebasket? Oh, my goodness.
What's wrong, Enzo?
Well, what did the wastebasket have to do with the secret?
Oh, everything. After we'd set up the type, we ran off a few trial proofs. They were smudged, and Bart dumped them into the wastebasket.
Well, sure, but I burned them before we left the office.
Oh, Frank, no, there isn't this a slight... is horrible.
What is it, Enzo? You actually look frightened.
I am. Frank, I know who was responsible now.
Who?
I was.
What?
While you and Bart were running off the proofs, a man came up to get the cut of an ad he'd run in the paper, and I had to have something to wrap the cut in, so I took a sheet of paper from the wastebasket.
Good Lord, the proofs.
That isn't the worst of it, Frank. The man was Mr. Mallory himself.
What?
Oh, here's the explanation. Oh. We are responsible after all.
Oh, what a mess. Well, we'll have to tell Professor Stafford at once.
Frank, I'm so sorry.
Oh, you couldn't help it, Enzo. It was our fault. We were too careless with the proofs.
But can't we do something about it, Frank?
It's too late now, Enzo. The deal's off as long as Mallory sticks to his new price.
Wait, Bart. There's just one slight chance.
What is it?
Well, I don't know this Mr. Mallory. Maybe he's the type who would listen to reason.
Well, not from what I've heard about him, Frank.
I don't know, Bart. He lives on a farm just outside of town. Suppose we go see him and explain the whole deal.
Let's try it, Frank. Let's try anything.
Well,
here we are.
I hope Mallory's here. Don't forget, we've got to get back for practice.
Yeah. Let me help you out, Ed.
Thank you, Frank.
All right, come on. Let's go up to the house and find him.
Mallory!
Watch it into the football.
I've got it!
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, that was some catch, mister.
Oh, for heaven's sake, it's the little Mallory boy.
Oh, Miss Burridge. Gee, he must be a regular football player.
He certainly is. This is Frank Marwell from Yale.
Frank Marwell? Jimmy, I've heard all about you. Hey, and this must be Bart Hodge.
That's right. How are you, Jimmy?
Fine, thanks. Boy, wait till I tell my father who's here.
Oh, incidentally, Jimmy, we came to see your father. Where is he?
In the barn over there. He'll be out in a minute, though. Golly, Mr. Marwell. I always wanted to meet you and Mr. Hodge. Maybe you could help me.
Help you, Jimmy?
I mean to grow up to be a football player like you.
Well, you've got a head start already, if you ask me. Well, that was some kick you made.
Gee, thanks. But I'd like to learn how to kick better.
Well, that's easy, Jimmy. All you have to do is meet the ball just the right way and get plenty of drive behind it. Now, look, I'll show you. Now, hold the ball this way with your right hand extended along the seams.
Yeah, I see.
And don't try to kick it like a ballet dancer. Just a normal follow-through.
Well, tell him about how to meet the ball with his foot, Frank.
That's right. Now, you don't kick it with your toe like a drop kick. You boot the ball with your instep. Now, here, I'll show you.
I'm watching.
All right, here goes.
Golly, look at that ball sail. I could never kick it like that, Mr. Marwell. That must have gone about 80 yards.
I sure you could, Jimmy. Just keep practicing what I showed you.
I sure will. I wish I could see you two playing a game, though.
Well, it's a little late for that, Jimmy. Tomorrow's the last game of the season.
Gee, that's too bad.
Would you really like to see it, Jimmy?
Would I? Yeah, but what's the use? Like Mr. Hodge says, it's too late now.
Oh, I don't know. How about those two tickets you were saving for your father, Bart?
Two tickets? Golly!
That's right. He can't make the game. It'd be a shame to waste them, wouldn't it, Frank?
Do you think your father would take them, Jimmy?
You bet he would.
Hello!
Here he comes now. You'll see.
What's going on, son?
Oh, Dad! Would you take me to the Harvard-Yale game tomorrow, would you?
The Harvard-Yale game? You dreaming, boy? Where would I get tickets for?
These people want to give them to us.
Give them to us?
Sure. This is Frank Merriwell, and this is Bart Hodge. You've heard of them, haven't you?
Why, sure. Everybody around here has. Glad to meet you, gentlemen.
Well, how do you do, sir?
Thank you.
But what's all this about game tickets?
Well, your boy Jimmy is quite a football fan, Mr. Mallory, and we happen to have two extra tickets.
Oh, you'll take him, won't you, Mr. Mallory? His heart's set on it.
Well, now, under the circumstances, I don't see how I can refuse.
Oh,
that's mighty nice of you, Paul.
Well, that's all right, Mr. Mallory. We'll send the tickets over first thing in the morning. But what we really came out here to see you about was that land deal of yours.
What land deal?
Oh, Frank means the property you're thinking of selling to Yale University.
Oh, that?
Yes, sir.
Say, what do you boys know about that deal?
Well, quite a lot, Mr. Mallory, and we understand you've doubled your price.
That's right, I have, and I mean to stick to it, too. What about it?
Well, now, don't misunderstand me, Mr. Mallory. I don't want to interfere, but it seems to me you're making a mistake.
Oh, I am I? In just what way?
Well, you think that Yale has all kinds of money at its disposal and that it'll meet your price eventually, no matter how high it is.
And what's wrong with that? They'll meet my price if they want the land.
Well, that's the point. They won't. They can't. They simply don't have the money. Now, if you insist on the new price, you'll be worse off than you were before, because I can guarantee that Yale will not meet it.
And I say they will. Oh, I see your scheme now. You thought you could come out here, give us a couple of tickets to the game, and buy me off. Well, it won't work. I'm sticking to my guns. And as for your tickets, you can keep them. We don't want any part of them. Don't I? Well, you just wait and see. Who do these people think they are anyhow?
Just a minute, Mr. Mallory. Don't take this out on your boy. In spite of your attitude, our offer for the ticket still goes. We did that for Jimmy, not you. Come on, let's get back to town.
Well, Jimmy, I'm glad your father finally agreed to bring you. Are you excited?
Oh, yes, Miss Burns. Aren't Frank, Bart, wonderful?
I think so. Now, watch this next play. Frank is back in punt formation.
Well, hope he gets off one like he did at the farm. Watch this, and watch Frank kick.
I'm watching. He'd better look out for those Harvard linemen.
There it goes. Kick it, Frank. Get it away. Oh, a beauty.
Wow, all the way back to the five-yard line.
Yeah, but look at that Harvard back. Run with it.
Come on, tackle him. Tackle him. Oh, he's getting away.
Oh, look, here comes Frank.
Until he ran it back 30 yards, you mark my words, son, this Harvard team is going to be tough.
Oh, tough luck, Frank. I missed that block.
Oh, it wasn't your fault, Bart. I should have been away on that one. I just can't seem to get going.
Oh, they're pushing us all over the field. We've got to start rolling.
Oh, it's a little late this quarter. The half will be over in 25 seconds.
Oh, no.
Woodward for
Merriwell! Substitution? What's the idea of the coach taking you out, Frank? Is he trying to show you up?
Oh, I don't blame him. Keep fighting in there, gang.
Yeah, right, Frank.
Over here, Frank.
That's it. What's the matter, coach? Why'd you take me out?
You tell me what's the matter. You're playing like an old woman in there.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry. It's this business about the land sale. It's my responsibility. I can't get it off my mind. I feel terrible about it.
Well, you'll feel worse if you blow the game. I took you out to give you a chance to come to your senses.
You're right, Coach. It'll be a different story next half.
It better be. Come on, get to the dressing room.
Time's running out on us. The last quarter's almost over.
I know, but one touchdown will put us out in front. Now, what do you say, gang? Let's make it this time. All right. Singles. 25. 36. 25. 67.
Come on, Frank. I'll get the fullback this time.
Mike. One, two, three.
This way, Frank. Here it goes.
Nice block. That's the one I needed.
Get him more, Frank.
Cut. You're in the clear now. Run, Frank. Run. He's over. It's a touchdown.
Thank you.
game this has been. For a long time, I didn't think those boys could pull it out of the fire.
If they can just stop that Harvard back. But what's his name?
Donnelly. That young man will take a lot of stopping. Watch him on this play. Here they go.
Front line, break it up.
Look at him cut through tackle.
They got him. Nice tackle, boys.
I told you Yale would snare him. Look, people are starting to crowd around the sidelines. Can I go down? Can I?
No, sir. You stay right here. The game's almost over.
But, gee, I want to get down close.
Never mind. Now watch this Harvard play.
Oh, if Yale can only stop them once more.
I want to see this. I'm going down there.
Hey, Jimmy, come back here.
He's running down to the sidelines. Jimmy, come back.
Been killed. The Harvard touchdown.
Christ, you just threw the game away.
I know, Bart, but I couldn't let Jimmy get trampled.
Oh, what a break. We had the game sewed up, and now this.
Oh, wait. What happened?
Harvard offside! Bring the ball back!
It's a penalty. The touchdown doesn't count.
There's a real break point. Jimmy!
Yes, sir?
Get off the field, and this time stay off. Harvard has to run their play again, and this time they're going to be thrown for a loss. Come on, gang!
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are privileged to hear from our guest, Mr. Mallory of New Haven. Mr. Mallory.
Mallory?
Thank you.
See,
yeah. What are you doing, Frank? Coming here to blow?
Let's see.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm no speaker, so I'll make this brief and to the point. I saw something happen today that I didn't believe possible. A young man playing his heart out for Yale in the most important game of the whole year deliberately sacrificed that game, risked making himself the GOAT just to save a little boy from getting hurt. Fortunately, Yale won anyhow, but the fact remains it was the most outstanding piece of real sportsmanship I've ever seen. And I don't say that just because the little boy happened to be my own son.
My goodness. Mr. Mallory has a heart after him.
Now, I say that any university which produces a young man like this deserves every bit of support it can get. That's why I have changed my mind and decided to donate, absolutely free, the land for Yale's new civil engineering school.
Oh, what a wonderful gesture.
It certainly is. Aren't you proud of your father, Jimmy?
Why, sure, I guess I am. But I'm proud of you, too, Frank. After all, you won the football game.
And so ends another exciting adventure with Frank Merriwell, beloved hero of American fiction, brought to you in a new series of stories by the National Broadcasting Company. And be sure to listen again next week at the same time when Frank Merriwell returns in another of his celebrated exploits. Frank is played by Lawson Zerbe, Bart is Hal Studer, and Inza is Elaine Rust. Other members of the cast were Edgar Staley, Joseph Boland, John McGovern, Richard Keith, and David Anderson. Original music. Original music on today's show is by Paul Taubman. The Adventures of Frank Merriwell is written by Ruth and Gilbert Braun and William Welch, and the entire production is under the direction of Ed King. This is Mel Brandt speaking.